Welcome to Zichron Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and today we're talking Baba Basra, Daf Tzadi, the fifth perek of Mokhras Asfina. This perek has been generously sponsored by Rabbi Yechezkel and Anat Hartman, L'zeichon Nishmas Hagon Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, in honor of the publication of the Sefer Nechusi Yama, his Shiurim, on this perek. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Shmuel said three rulings. Emo Sifin Ohamidos Yosim Mishtos. A city cannot increase the sizes of their measures by more than a sixth. Velo Ohamatbe Yosim Mishtos. Nor can they increase the value of coins by more than a sixth. Amistakir al Yistakir Yosim Mishtos. And one should not profit through buying and selling by more than a sixth. The Gemara seeks to explain Shmuel's first ruling and why a sixth would be permitted. After two suggestions are rejected, the Gemara suggests another. The Lo Havi Pseidu Atagra. It's so a merchant does not suffer a loss of principal if he mistakenly sells a new measure for the old price, unaware of the increased volume, since a merchant usually profits by a sixth. The Gemara objects that if so, increasing the measure by a sixth should also be prohibited, since he'll have no profit. Zavim Zabin Tagra Ikre. Does he buy and sell merchandise just to be called a merchant without making any profit? The Gemara concludes that Shmuel has a source in a pasuk that coins and measures may be increased by a sixth, despite the possibility that a merchant will not profit. Still, the rabbis forbade raising a more, whereby a merchant may suffer a loss of principal. Point number two, it was taught in a brisa, Otzrei Peros, regarding those who hoard produce, who cause prices to rise and take advantage of them, as well as those who lend with ribbis, those who cheat using small eifa measures, and those who raise the prices. The pasuk says, Nishba Hashem begon Yaakov im eshkach lenetzach chomasem. Hashem swore by the pride of Yaakov, surely I shall never forget their deeds. Shmuel's father would sell early in the market at the early lower price, and Shmuel would delay selling his produce until the end of the harvest season, when prices were higher, at the early lower price. Although both were permitted, they sent from Eretz Yisrael, Tavad da'abim v'debra. The father's practice is better than the son's because Tard the Rabach, a market price that eased initially, eases for the whole season. A brisa states, Ein otzrim peros dvarim sheyesh ben chayei nefesh. One may not hoard produce which is a staple of life, such as wine, oils, and fine flowers, but one may hoard seasoning, such as cumin and pepper. The prohibition is only for buying from the market and hoarding. But regarding one who gathers in his own produce, it's permitted. Another brisa permits hoarding near Shemitah. And point number three was taught in a brisa, Ein motzin peros me'eretz Yisrael. One may not export produce out of Eretz Yisrael, dvarim sheyesh ben chayei nefesh, items which are staples of life, such as wine, oils, and fine flour. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra permits exporting wine, mifnei shemamayit satifla, because it thereby reduces indecency in Eretz Yisrael. The Tanna Kamma adds that similarly, one may not export such produce to Surya because he does not consider it part of Eretz Yisrael, but Rebbe permits exporting from the last province in Eretz Yisrael to the first province of Surya since they are so close. On the next stuff, Abraisa says one cannot trade in staples of life in Eretz Yisrael, buying from a producer and retailing it for a higher price. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari did trade with wine and oil in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara explains that he held like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra regarding wine, and oil was plentiful in his locale, and there was no concern about increasing prices. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Shmuel said three rulings. Ein mosifin ohamidos yosim mishtos. A city cannot increase the sizes of their measures by more than a sixth. Velo ohamatbe yosim mishtos. Nor can they increase the value of coins by more than a sixth. Amistakir al yistakir yosim mishtos. And one should not profit through buying and selling by more than a sixth. The Gemara seeks to explain Shmuel's first ruling and why a sixth would be permitted. After two suggestions are rejected, the Gemara suggests another. The Lo Havi Pseidu Atagra. It's so a merchant does not suffer a loss of principal if he mistakenly sells a new measure for the old price, unaware of the increased volume, since a merchant usually profits by a sixth. The Gemara objects that if so, increasing the measure by a sixth should also be prohibited, since he'll have no profit. Zavim Zabin Tagra Ikre. Does he buy and sell merchandise just to be called a merchant without making any profit? The Gemara concludes that Shmuel has a source in a pasuk that coins and measures may be increased by a sixth, despite the possibility that a merchant will not profit. Still, the rabbis forbade raising a more, whereby a merchant may suffer a loss of principal. Point number two, it was taught in a brisa, Otzrei Peros, regarding those who hoard produce, who cause prices to rise and take advantage of them, as well as those who lend with ribbis, those who cheat using small eifa measures, and those who raise the prices. The pasuk says, Nishba Hashem begon Yaakov im eshkach lenetzach chomasem. Hashem swore by the pride of Yaakov, surely I shall never forget their deeds. Shmuel's father would sell early in the market at the early lower price, and Shmuel would delay selling his produce until the end of the harvest season, when prices were higher, at the early lower price. Although both were permitted, they sent from Eretz Yisrael, Tavad da'abim v'debra. The father's practice is better than the son's because Tard the Rabach, a market price that eased initially, eases for the whole season. Our Braisa states, "Ein otzrim peres dvarim sheyesh ben chayei nefesh." One may not hoard produce which is a staple of life, such as wine, oils, and fine flowers, but one may hoard seasoning, such as cumin and pepper. The prohibition is only for buying from the market and hoarding. But regarding one who gathers in his own produce, it's permitted. Another Braisa permits hoarding near Shemitah. And point number three was taught in a Braisa, "Ein motzim peres me'eretz Yisrael." One may not export produce out of Eretz Yisrael, dvarim sheyesh ben chayei nefesh, items which are staples of life, such as wine, oils, and fine flour. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra permits exporting wine, mifnei shememayit satifla, because it thereby reduces indecency in Eretz Yisrael. The Tanakhama adds that similarly, one may not export such produce to Syria because he does not consider it part of Eretz Yisrael, but Rebbe permits exporting from the last province in Eretz Yisrael to the first province of Syria since they are so close. On the next half, Abraisa says one cannot trade in staples of life in Eretz Yisrael, buying from a producer and retailing it for a higher price. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari did trade with wine and oil in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara explains that he held like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra regarding wine, and oil was plentiful in his locale, and there was no concern about increasing prices. All right, so now we got our Siman Daf Tzadi, and this Siman was suggested to us by David Levine from Thornhill, Ontario, as well as by Nathaniel Yankella from Clifton, New Jersey. They both suggested that Tzadi is a tzedakah box, a pushka. So here goes. It was a dark day in Stuckaville, where the large town pushka notified people it was prohibited to increase the value of measures more than a sixth. When one person was found hoarding produce to inflate prices, and another was caught exporting staples outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is forbidden. So once again, in slow motion. It was a dark day in Stuckaville where the large town Pushka, Stucka, that must be on Duff Tzadi, Stucka box. It was a dark day in Stuckaville where the large town Pushka notified people it was prohibited to increase the value of measures more than a sixth, which reminds us Shmuel said three rulings. Ein mosipin al midos yosim mishtos, where city cannot increase the sizes of their measures by more than a sixth. Below matbei yosim mishtos, nor can they increase the value of coins by more than a sixth. Vamistaka al yistaka yosim mishtos, and one should not profit through buying and selling by more than a sixth. The Gemara seeks to explain Shmuel's first ruling about measures and why a sixth would be permitted. So it was a dark day in Stuckaville where the large town Pushka notified people it was prohibited to increase the value of measures more than a sixth, when one person was found hoarding produce to inflate prices, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa, Otzrei Peros, regarding those who hoard produce, who cause prices to rise and take advantage of them, as well as those who lend with ribbas, those who cheat using small eifa measures, and those who raise the prices, the Pasuk says, Nishba Shem Begon Yaakov Imeshkach Lenetzach Komasem. Hashem swore by the pride of Yaakov, surely I shall never forget their deeds. So it was a dark day in Stuckaville where the large town Pushka notified people it was prohibited to increase the value of measures more than a sixth, when one person was found hoarding produce to inflate prices, and another was caught exporting staples outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is forbidden, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa, Ein motzin peros me'eretz Yisrael, one may not export produce out of Eretz Yisrael, dvarim sheyesh ben chayei nefesh, items which are staples of life, such as wine, oils, and fine flour. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra permits exporting wine because it thereby reduces indecency in Eretz Yisrael. The Tanakhama adds that similarly, one may not export such produce to Syria because he doesn't consider it part of Eretz Yisrael, but Rebbe permits exporting from the last province in Eretz Yisrael to the first province in Syria since they're so close. So once again, it was a dark day in Stuckaville where the large town Pushka notified people it was prohibited to increase the value of measures more than a sixth, when one person was found hoarding produce to inflate prices, and another was caught exporting staples outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is forbidden. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf pei vav. So the simmer daf pei vav is police. So here goes. The police officer, that must be on daf pei vav, police. The police officer who was giving a ticket for improper kinyanim, for an item that was dragged when it should have been lifted, which reminds us objects which are normally lifted are only acquired with hagbah, not mashicha. So the police officer who was giving a ticket for improper kinyanim, for an item that was dragged when it should have been lifted, gave a pass to the man dragging the sheep that dug its heels into the ground, which reminds us, the Chachamim say behema daka b'mashicha, a small animal is acquired through pulling it. This seems to prove that although a small animal is normally lifted, it can still be acquired with mashicha. The Gemara answers, shani behema dasarcha, an animal is different because it clutches the ground and is not easily lifted. So the Chachamim say it can be acquired with mashicha. So the police officer who was giving a ticket for improper kinyanim, for an item that was dragged when it should have been lifted, gave a pass to the man dragging the sheep that dug its heels into the ground, while a colleague went to buy 30 donuts for $30, knowing he can retract until the very last one. was in the box, which reminds us, Rav and Shmuel say, Kor b'shloshim ha'nimokher l'cha. If a seller says, I'm selling you a kor, 30 saw for 30 salaim, yachol lachzur bo afil b'sa achron, he can retract from the sale, even while the final saw was being measured. Because the agreed volume of sale was a full kor, the buyer does not acquire anything until the entire amount is given to him. However, if he said, Kor b'shloshim saw b'sela ha'nimokher l'cha, I'm selling you a kor for 30 salaim, a saw per sela, Rishon Kana, the buyer acquires each saw one by one because each saw is a full unit of sale. Daf Pei Zayin. So the Simfer Daf Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The man who used a golden Pez candy dispenser. Golden Pez candy dispenser? That must move on Daf Pei Zayin. The man who used a golden Pez candy dispenser to uproot some flax, to acquire it as well as the rest of the attached flax, which reminds us an earlier Mishnah had discussed acquiring attached flax through uprooting a small amount. Rav Sheshes explains that the cases where the owner said, Lech yapilecha karka koshu, go improve a small amount of land for yourself, and thereby acquire whatever is on it. Since uprooting some flax improves the land, it serves as a kinyan chazak on the land, which can acquire any flax attached to the ground, which also has the status of land. The Rashbam adds that this is effective even where he's not acquiring the land itself. So the man who used a golden Pez candy dispenser to uproot some flax to acquire it as well as the rest of the attached flax noticed the storekeeper tilting his measuring cup shaped like a candy dispenser to drip 3 additional drops into the buyer's container, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, V'chayv l'hatif lo shalosh tipin. The seller is required to let 3 drops drip out for the buyer from the measuring cup after pouring from it into the buyer's container. Hirkina umitzis. If he tilted it after allowing the 3 drops and residue gathered at the bottom, it belongs to the seller. Achemveni, a storekeeper is not required to allow 3 drops drip out for a buyer because he's occupied with his sales. Rav Yehuda says he's only exempt on Friday just before Shabbos, as the Gemara explains. So the man who used a golden Pez candy dispenser to uproot some flax to acquire it, as well as the rest of the attached flax, noticed a storekeeper tilting his measuring cup shaped like a candy dispenser to drip 3 additional drops into the buyer's container. While a child sent to the store with money and a flask to buy some oil, cried after he broke the flask and lost the change. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a shleich has beno etzel chemveni. If one sends his minor son to a storekeeper with a coin worth 2 isars to buy oil, and the storekeeper gave him the oil and an isar of change, and later the child broke the slochis, the flask of oil, and lost the isar, the Tanakhama holds the chemveni liable. Rabbi Yehuda exempts him, shalmanaske and shalchu, because it was with this intention that the oil and change should be sent with the child that he sent him. Da peches, so the simmer da peches is a pach, a garbage can, or a dustbin. So here goes. The garbage man who accidentally dropped and dented a garbage can, that must be on daf peches, pach. The garbage man who accidentally dropped and dented a garbage can when he picked it up to examine it, to purchase it, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Hanota klimin u'min levakro, if one takes the utensil from a craftsman to examine it for purchase, v'nanas biyado, and a mishap occurred to it while it was in his possession, chayiv, he's liable. Although he can return it, it's his responsibility until then, since he lifted it with the intent to purchase it. The Gemara says this is only where its price was set, so he can keep it if he decides to purchase it. Rashbam adds that the item is in high demand. So the garbage man who accidentally dropped and dented a garbage can when he picked it up to examine it, to purchase it, was waiting to tell the shopkeeper who was busy tilting a scale for the buyer's benefit, which reminds us the next mission details how often measures must be cleaned from residue by wholesalers, homeowners, and storekeepers, as well as weights and scales. It continues, and he must tilt the scale for the buyer's benefit by tefach, where this is the practice. So the garbage man who accidentally dropped and dented a garbage can when he picked it up to examine it, to purchase it, was waiting to tell the shopkeeper who was busy tilting a scale for the buyer's benefit, under a sign that said, Kasha onshan shel midos, yoser me onshan shel arayis, which reminds us, Rabbi Levi said, Kasha onshan shel midos, yoser me onshan shel arayis. The punishment for fraudulent measures is more severe than for illicit relations, because the Torah wrote, El, these abominations regarding arayos, and wrote, Eile, regarding false weights. The Gemara demonstrates that El is an expression of severity, so the longer Eile connotes greater severity. Although arayos are punishable by karas and false measures are not, an arayos violation is efshar b'tshuva, it's possible to repent from. But regarding false measures, lo efshar b'tshuva, it's not possible to repent completely since he may not know whom he cheated. Daf pei tes, so the simmer daf pei tes is a chalon pot. So here goes. The seller who always made sure to measure with his eifa shlema chalon pot, that must be on daf pei tes, pot. The seller who always made sure to measure with his eifa shlema chalon pot, to remember not to level in a place where they heap, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Peches Amud Beis taught that where it's customary to level a measure, one may not heap a measure, and vice versa. A Brisa states, Manayin Shein Mochakim B'Makom Shegodshim, from where do we derive that one may not level the measure in a place where they heap it, even where the buyer agrees to receive it, or nor may he heap in a place where they level it, even where the seller agrees to give more? The Pasuk says, Eifa Shlema, a perfect measure, implying that fraud may not result from one's measure. So the seller always made sure to measure with his Eifa Shlema Chompot, to remember not to level in a place where they heap, watch his competitor go poor from cheating people using different measures, which reminds us, Rebuto Surah Darshan, L'yelocha Bevesecha, the Pasuk says, you will not have in your house, meaning you will not have money. Matam, why? Mishum Eifa Ve'Eifa, because you use a measure and a measure, a large one for buying and a small one for selling. So the seller always made sure to measure with his Eifa Shlema Chompot, to remember not to level in a place where they heap, watch his competitor go poor from cheating people using different measures, who refused to listen to the rabbi who spoke in the town square about forbidden sales practices, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, Oili im Omer, woe is to me if I speak about these forbidden practices, referring to fraudulent practices. Woe is me if I do not speak about them. If I do, perhaps the deceivers will learn how to cheat. And if I do not, perhaps the deceivers will say, Ein Talmid Chachamim Bekim B'maisi Adenu. The Talmid Chachamim were not familiar with their activities, and they'll increase their activities. Ultimately, he did speak about them based on the pasuk Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem, for Hashem's ways are straight, but Tzadikim Yelchu Bam Uposhim Yikashu Bam, and the righteous walk in them, and the wicked stumble in them. Thus, it's worth teaching the righteous how to avoid cheating, although the wicked may take advantage of the information. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do you discuss cleaning weights and measures and the requirement to give a buyer extra? That's on daf Peches. Good. Number two, which daf do we learn a city cannot increase the size of their measures or coins by more than a sixth? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. Number three, which daf do we learn the difference between a sale of Kor B'Shloshim and a sale of Kor B'Shloshim Sa B'Sela? That's on daf Pevav. Good. Number four, which daf do we learn it's forbidden to export staples to outside of Eretz Yisrael? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. Number five, which daf do you learn if a seller overcharges and the item's value increases, the seller cannot retract? That's on daf Pei Dalet. Good. Number six, which daf do you learn that one's money depends on his honesty with measures? That's on daf Pei Tes. Good. Number seven, which daf do you the case of a child sent to a chevani who was sent back with oil and change and the flask broke and the coin was lost? That's on daf Pei Zayin. Good. Number eight, which daf do we discuss hoarding produce? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. Number nine, which daf do we learn one can acquire an item placed in a simta without using a kli? That's on daf Pei Dalet. Good. And number 10, which daf do we learn if one takes a utensil from a craftsman to examine it for purchase and a mishap occurred to it while it was in his possession, he's chayev? That's on daf Peches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.